Today's daf in Masechet Ketuvot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Yud Dalet, and we're holding on daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, right at the bottom. Yesterday we were talking about the question of knowing who daddy is. So over here we have slightly related, so yeah, there it was Benogea, specifically the Kahuna, and here we have an interesting question. A boy and girl who were engaged, or I say engaged, they were more than engaged, they actually were Arusim. And she's pregnant, and she comes to Rav Yosef. So here she is, I mean, supposedly planning a wedding, and she looks a little bit too pregnant for a wedding. So Rav Yosef says, so what the heck is going on? So she says, oh, he got me pregnant, you know, we got a little bit too close. And he says, yeah, it's true. Who omer it? Yes, it's my child, Minai. So I'm Rav Yosef, okay, so why do we have to say that anybody should be posel over here, not her, not the child? I mean, l'may nechush lo. First of all, he admits that he got her pregnant. So if he admits it, so then why should we doubt it? Not to mention the fact that even if he hadn't admitted it, didn't Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel paskin like Rebbe Gamliel, and Rebbe Gamliel says that we believe a woman to say who it was that got her pregnant. So the same thing should be true over here. We should believe the Arusa to say that the guy got her pregnant. Wait a minute. You're telling me, first of all, he's Modeh, and secondly, we don't have to worry because of the halachic Rav Gamliel. Excuse me? But that's not true, because if he wouldn't have admitted it, so then Rebbe Gamliel would have said that Afal Pikein, she is Kshera. The Amar Lei Shmuel Rav Yehuda, didn't Shmuel say to Rav Yehuda, Shinina, Halacha Rebbe Gamliel, listen, Sharpie, it may be true that the halacha is like Rebbe Gamliel, but do not get her married to a Kohen. Don't you actually take this la halacha, but somebody asks you a Shaila, unless it's a situation where Rov Ksherim Etzla. Now, you remember that yesterday we spoke about that Ledivrei HaMachshir is Machshir Afilo Berov Psulim, and Ledivrei HaPosel is Posel even Berov Ksherim. And then we paskin like Rebbe Gamliel. Now, Shmuel came along and said, listen, it's all very nice to paskin like Rebbe Gamliel, but don't do it, halacha l'maisa, don't apply the halacha unless it's in a case where you can be make a more because Rov Ksherim, right? So in this case, the whole world is usher to her except for one guy. She's married to this guy, so somebody else got her pregnant. This is big trouble. And therefore, Shmuel basically said, do not paskin like Rebbe Gamliel in this case. And over here, obviously, Rov Psulim Etzla is the understatement of your life. I mean, everybody's puzzle. If it wouldn't be him, says Rabbi Yosef, can I ask you something? I mean, you're taking these words seriously, Kipshuta? So, I mean, how do you understand Shmuel? You think Shmuel's crazy? First Shmuel says halacha, then he says, but don't do the halacha. I mean, what is that supposed to mean? Doesn't the halacha mean what you're supposed to do? I mean, according to the way you understood it, what should it have said? It should have said the halacha is like Rebbe Gamliel, but Rebbe Gamliel only held that in a case where Rov Ksherim, and this is Rov Psulim. But you can't tell me that Rebbe Gamliel said that we can even Rov Psulim, and then you say, but don't listen to him. I thought you said halachas like him. So it's obvious what he's saying, isn't it? I mean, anybody understands that what he's saying is, look, it may be that the halacha is like Rebbe Gamliel, and look, if it happened already, the halacha is that it's kosher. But that doesn't mean that l'chatchila you should do like Rebbe Gamliel to allow her to marry a kohen, unless it was Rav Ksherim. Isn't that? I mean, that's the pashtus of what he's saying. He's not saying that Rebbe Gamliel didn't hold it. So elamayit lach lemeimer ha-diavad and ha-l'chatchila, right? But this case is a tremendous diavad, isn't it? I mean, she's already pregnant. We're going to have to paskin what the child is. She's already married to this guy. If it isn't him, then they're going to have to get divorced. So what are you telling me? In this case, don't go like Rebbe Gamliel. Of course I have to go. You paskin like Rebbe Gamliel. Fine. Now, Romi le Abaye le Rab. So now, in general, how do we understand the change the gears over here to Rabba? We'll see why. So Abaye asks Rabba, I don't understand Rabbi Yoshua's Shita. It does not seem to be consistent. You're telling me that Rabbi Yeshua says, Lo mipia anuchoyin. What does that mean, Lo mipia anuchoyin? That we don't go according to her chazoka. So you're telling me, according to Rabbi Yeshua, we do not follow a cheskes kashrus lekahuna. Yeah, you're saying, I don't know, maybe she was sleeping with a natin or a mamzer. I mean, now, wait a minute over here. I happen to be able to prove to you with the Mishnah, famous Mishnah in Idyos, that it's Davka Rabbi Yehoshua who says, we are semech on a cheskes kashrus lekahuna. I don't understand how you're going to make it consistent. Vramini. So what about the Mishnah in Idyot? Hey, Eid, Rabbi Yehoshua, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. This is what concerns me, obviously, is Rabbi Yehoshua here. All right, so Rabbi Yehoshua was made about an almanat isa, shekshira lekahuna. Okay, the way Rashi understands almanat isa is very straightforward. His simple pshat is that an almanat isa, the word isa, according to Rashi, means of doubt, where we don't really know precisely what, just like the idea of a cake, and if you don't have the ingredients listed on that cake, you don't know what the heck was put into that cake. I mean, how many calories does it have? I don't know how much oil, maybe it's full of butter, I don't know. So when you're looking at something like a cake or bread, you could be talking about anything between 50 calories a slice or 500 calories a slice. So every Isa is filled with all kinds of confusing ingredients. That's what it means. So it means you don't know what you're looking at. That's all that it means. The way that we normally use the word Isa in reference to families, Tosis points out, always has to do with entire families, because families are like dough. They have all kinds of different people in them and different level of kashrus and all kinds of hanky-panky going, whatever. So families are always like that. Okay. And therefore, Tosis doesn't like, it's one of the reasons, Tosis doesn't like Rashi's pshat. We'll see another very important reason that Tosis doesn't like Rashi's pshat. But this is one of the most chomur sugyas and shas, because it includes all kinds of dinim about suffik and about rov and about chazaka. It's a very, very rich, famous sugya, the sugya of Almanat Isa. But so Rashi's approach is very simple. The word Isa means doubt, basically, is all that it means. And when we say that she is an Almat Isa, Almanat Isa, it means she is an almana who is doubtful about whether her status, legabe dekuna, is as an almana, or her status is as a grusha. Why? Because what happened is that she was married to someone, and he threw her a get, and like many of the shilas that we had by getting, Suffolk, famous case that we've had dozens of times, Suffolk korov la, Suffolk korov lo, so now we don't know whether she was mugureshet or not. And then, when she starts yelling at him, he has a heart attack and drops dead. So now, what is she? An almana or a grusha? That's the question. So if the get was korov la, so then she's a grusha, and then she's pasul for the kuna. If the get was korov lo, so then she's an almana. Yeah, she can't lose. All she has to do is torture him enough, and one way or the other, she's free, right? Okay. So now the question is, we don't know what she is, but she goes ahead and she marries a kohen. And now the child of this marriage is, because of this, a safek halal, because this kohen may have married a grusha. Now, comes along Rabbi Yehoshua, and he says that she is kosher lekahuna, and he's made that he has a kabbalah, that this is the halacha, that she's kosher lekahuna. Why would she be kosher lekahuna? Because of the chazaka. She was kosher lekahuna before. You're coming to pasul her, b'tzamas safek, maybe. Maybe his mother was a halala, but she wasn't the halala before. So because of that, we don't turn her into a halala, and the child is kosher. Now, Rashi himself brings an additional pshat, and we'll see why he brings this additional pshat. There's something that is missing in this pshat of Almanat Isa, and that is that the Gemara is going to call it a sveik sveika. So because of that, he brings the pshat of Rav Yosef Tova Ilem, which Tosfos doesn't like this pshat either, but Almanat Isa, according to him, meant that there was a sveik sveika because not only was there a safek korov lo and a safek korov la followed by a heart attack, but she did not wait 3 months to marry this kohen. So now, in addition to the suffix about what her status was, I don't know whether this child was the child of the Kohen from before she got divorced, from the husband before she got divorced, or whether it's the child of this Kohen. So therefore, we have no reason to say that he's Dafka, a child who is himself a suffix kol. Maybe he's not even a child of that person who would be a suffix kol, because he may be the child of the original husband, because she didn't wait long enough for us to know whether she's a ben shiva la'acharon or a ben tisha la'rishon. So therefore, it's a sfeik sfeika. Rashi says we do not need to create that situation. We'll see why. So Rashi keeps it very simple. We have a single suffix over here about his mother. Is his mother a grusha? Or is his mother an almana? That's what we're trying to decide. And Rabbi Yehoshua came along and apparently said that, well, the idea is that you have a chazaka. And therefore, they should have said the same thing in our case. We have a chazaka. I mean, I guess that that must be the idea. So do we or do we not rely on a cheskes kashrus v'kuhuna? How do you explain Rabbi Yehoshua Shita in our mission if he himself is the one who's made that we trust the cheskes kashrus? Oh, my lace, said Rabbi to Abai, what kind of weird question is that? The cases are not similar. Hatam isha bodeket v'nisei. Listen, when women get married, we know that they look into their husbands. I don't want to get into this guy, you know, I got to know what cheder he went to. I got to know whether he went to a yeshiva with the kippot through goat or whether he went. I mean, God only knows what kind of crazy questions that they ask. So if she asks that, you don't think that she went around and investigated, like, what happened really with that get? She probably found people that said, no, I was there. It was definitely Korov Lo. She was Shumayfin. She was, I mean, whatever. So she knows that he must be kosher. And that way, she looked into the original supposed divorce of her mother-in-law, because she wants to know who this guy is. And she found out that she was an almana, not a grusha. And that's why she got married. And that's what we're relying on. But I mean, you could say that about this case where she got married. But over here, this woman is not married. She's being mizana. So what are we going to say? Well, she wouldn't be mizana with a guy that didn't have perfect yichus. Come on. I mean, like, you know, it's a one-night stand. What she's going to figure out, she spent 3 months investigating the guy for a one-night stand? Forget about it. So obviously there, he does not say that we could be samech on anything. That must be the pshat. And therefore, there's no connection. Omar Rava, wait, I don't understand. Abai, excuse me, but you said you don't understand Rabbi Yehoshua. Why do you not understand Rabbi Yehoshua, but you do understand Rabbi Gamliel? I mean, isn't there exactly the same question, Rabbi Gamliel? The Rabbi Yehoshua kasha. And the Rabbi Gamliel, Adar Gamliel. That's not a kasha. What, are you prejudiced against Rabbi Yehoshua? I can show you the same kind of questions and contradictions in Rabbi Gamliel, because look, that Mishnah, okay, continues. I mean, I love the way you ignore that. Omarlam Rabbi Gamliel, well, you know, we say to Rabbi Yehoshua, my dear Rabbi Yehoshua, kibalnu edutchem, yes, I mean, we believe that you know exactly what you're talking about, but what can you do? Even though we believe you, we cannot be koveya that as the halacha. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a gezera. And what was his gezera? Lo lo shiv beit din al kach. Do not issue a psak halacha being matir in amanat isa. Why? Because you're going to make fools of yourself, and we don't make fools of Beis Din, and we don't give out piskei halakas that are ridiculous because they're not going to be listened to. These kohanim, you know them, they always know better. They tell you when to drink, when you can't drink. They tell you what is right, what's not, how to, what a place is, what a place isn't. You can't tell them anything. So if you try to tell them that an almanat isa is kosher, you think they're going to pay any attention to you? They only pay attention to you when you are lifting them up by being more machmer about who can marry. Yes, that we believe. But if you're trying to give a kula, no way, Jose. And therefore, kohanim shomim lelechem likarachek, avolo likarev. So we cannot paskin that the, even though we believe you, but we cannot paskin that it's mutter to marry a kohen. Because we were told not to paskin like that. So I'm telling you now, okay, why there really is no relationship between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Idiot. And both Rabbi Gamliel has to be explained and Rabbi Yoshua has to be explained. So here's the way to look at it, not to be prejudiced and only say, I don't understand Rabbi Yoshua. It's very simple, says Rabbi. Look, the Rabbi Gamliel had the Rabbi Gamliel Lokasha. I mean, there's no connection Bichlal, okay? See, there we go again. There we are. A Kohen holding up a golden container of blood and about to be poured out on a Mizbeach, undoubtedly. Who knows? It looks like it's Pasul B'Yitzeh from what I can see. No, Lav Davka, it could be, maybe. Anyway, and what happened? Over there, the woman told us, in our case, the woman told us, Bori. We had a Bori in Hashemah. And therefore, we will accept what she says, but that was entirely based on Bori Veshema. It wasn't based just on other issues of Cheskes Kuna. And therefore, over here, she can't tell me, I know for a fact he's not a Cholom. Why? She doesn't know for a fact. You're saying, well, I heard from people. Get out of here. And Rabbi Yoshua is Lokasha, because in the case of our Mishnah, we only have one suffix. So Rabbi Yoshua says, well, we're machmer on one suffix, but why did we say that? Ma'ale asubi yuchasim, we said. Really, we would have been ma'at to her, but since we're talking about over here, yuchasim, so we're machmer. Masha ein kein, in the case of idiot, we have two sveikot. Now, normally two sveikot mean the idea of a sveika, right? First of all, let's take the case of Rabbi Yosef Tovi Lame. There we have a classic sveika. First of all, is this woman a grusha or not? And second of all, even if she is a grusha, is this child a child from the first husband before he gave her the get? Or is this the child of the second husband, in which case he would be a halal? So that would be the classic way of sveika. And that's exactly why Rabbi Yosef Tov Ilem did not say the pshat that Rashi said, because how would we explain the Gemara of its being a sveika? So Rashi has a completely different understanding of the nature of trei sveiki. Trei sveiki does not mean a sveika, because there's obviously only one suffix. Was the mother a grusha, or was she an almana? Rashi has a very new way of explaining a sveika here, meaning it is a suffix that emerges from a previously existing suffix. That's the point. So the idea over here is that what we need to know about this particular woman, Legabi the Kahuna, is she a chalala or not, comes from an earlier suffix where we needed to know what was the matzav of her own husband's mother. And therefore, we're talking about a distance from our ability to apply the chazaka directly because of the fact that we are two steps away from the issue that would have passed. Because over here, the mother of the suffix halal is the one that has the suffix. She herself was only a problem because of her own suffix. And now this woman who married her son is a derivation of an original suffix that had to be dealt with the mother. Therefore, you are a step away from the makor of the iser, and that allows us to apply a chazaka. Masha Einkein, if it's about this person themselves that you have the suffix. So there he says, we're machmer not to apply the chazaka. If the suffix was only nolad in a previous generation, so that's not called the same as our ma'ala asu biyuchsin. That's all. So it's a completely different approach. Nothing to do with standard sveika. And because of this, of course, the other Rishonim don't like Rashi's approach because that's not what sveika usually means. Okay, but in any event, says Rabbi, this is the way that I understand the Gemara, and therefore we do not have a stira between our case and the case of the Almanat Issa. So, Hatam Chatzveika, and back Here, Hocha, meaning Hocha, we're talking about Hocha in the Mishnah we're talking about now in Idiot, we have two stages. Or, according to Rabbi Yosef Tovi Lehm, we have actually two doubts. Whose child is he? And even if he is the child of the Kohen, was the woman a almana or was she a Gerusha? Therefore, says the Gemara, okay, then let's wrap it up according to this, all right? Hilkach. As far as Rabbi Gamliel is concerned, let's note that what he's saying is that if you have a bori, then that bori is so meaningful that we will attach it to a chazaka even if there's a direct suffix about this case, even if it's a chatzfeika. But if you only have a shema, the shema is so weak that it is not enough to be machsher even in the case of a sveiksveika, you see? And that's the point that he's saying, that when it comes to the almanati, even though it's a sveiksveika, but there's no bori. There's only a shema. So then that means that his vision, Rabbi Gamliel, is that the main focus over here is not on the chazaka, which is merely an additional support for the concept of bori. It's on the bori. If you've got a bori, then you've got a healthy taina. If you've got a shema, then you don't have any taina for us to link the chazaka to. Masha Einkein, Rabbi Yoshua says, forget about what you are thinking. The important question is the nature of the suffix, not the nature of your response to the suffix. Therefore, says Rabbi Yoshua, let's look at the suffix. One suffix is so powerful that even bori is not enough for you to say, let's rely on the chazaka, and therefore it's possible. But a sveiksveika is so weak that even a shema is enough. You see, so in a sense, they are complete mirror images of each other, Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Gamliel, and clarifying in that way makes it therefore obvious. So that means that if we take the sugya and we take a look at the cases that we had, so if she was only, remember if you're going like the meaning of midaberet means only yichud. So in the event that she was only alone with him, so then we have a chazaka, she was kosher for Kohen, she has a din of a bori, and she also has a great migul. She could have said, I never slept with anybody, what are you talking about? That was my cousin, like the other case. So there, for sure, we go entirely aliba the Rabbi Gamliel, and the halacha is that we are semech on the chazaka with a tainas bori and a tainas migul together. Man, oh man, you can't get better than that. And even Rabbi Yoshua doesn't have any objection to that. All he says is, you may be right theoretically, but when it comes to yichus, the Rabbanan made a mila b'yichus. That's all that he said. If she was pregnant, well, then obviously she doesn't have a migul of saying, I never slept with anybody. And therefore, the idea over there is, Rabbi Gamliel is ready to go with his bori, even if we don't have the migul. But we have her cheskas kashras. Now, the question whether we also need the taina that a woman checks out the situation, but that's not so posh. According to Rabbi Yoshua, we say, no, we don't go with her if it's a single suffix. And then we also had an addition to that, that even though we paskin like Rabbi Gamliel, Shmuel said, don't actually be knowing like Rabbi Gamliel, unless to be matar her lechatchila to a Kohen who's coming and asking you, should I marry her? You should find out first whether it was in a city of mostly Yisrael, where Rov Sheirim Etzla, or whether it was the Ruba di Alma, who are not Sheirim Etzla. Was it out in the field? Was it? And like we discussed before. Okay, so that is a subsection of paskening like Rabbi Gamliel. And then we had the case where Rabbi Gamliel had to admit to it. Well, of course, in that case, we're maskim. That was the case where she was a captive, right? So she was a shvuya by Akum. So it was okay over there. We're made that since everyone there was puzzled for her, that wasn't even brought up because we said it doesn't matter whether it's Rov Psulim or Ksherim. And what we said was that since it's Goyim, it's impossible that she wasn't raped. So therefore, it's an anansani. So for all intents and purposes, we have a witness that tells witnesses, a non-Saudi, that she was raped by a goy, and therefore she's psula lacuna. That's all. So that would be the final expression of the various cases. Now, there is a braita based on the Mishnah in Idyos that goes like this. Tana Rabbanan, let us define for you this case of an almanat isa. Who would be an almana that we call an almanat isa? Kol she'ein ba'lo mishum mamzerut, ba'lo mishum netinut, ba'lo mishum avdei melachim. It's talking about anyone who married someone where there was no question that maybe he's a mamzer, or maybe he was a netin, or maybe he was actually an eved. We call it avdei melachim, remember, because we spoke about avdei Shlomo, remember, and their problem of their yichus, because they were very powerful, and they were able to take these chasheva families, despite the fact that they were avadim. And we have an additional problem later than the time of Shlomo, which, of course, was Wurdus, where Wurdus himself was an eved, took over the malchus from the chashbonai, and therefore we had a lot of avadim that were running around and that were actually taking Jewish women. So the Tanakhama is saying, as long as the suffix that we're involved here with is not a suffix of mamzerus or netinut or avdei melachim, so then there's no problem. And Rebbe Meir says something very strange, because Rebbe Meir just seems to be repeating what they're saying, and yet he's claiming to be arguing. Says Rebbe Meir, well, I don't know about that, because I heard, shamati, that only in cases where we don't have any of those problems of mamzerus or netinut or avdei melachim, that's where I heard that we are allowed to be maisi and lacuna, which of course the Gemara is about to ask. That's exactly what the Tanakhama said, Rebbe Meir. What are you arguing about? Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar says, now listen, you guys are misquoting Rebbe Meir, okay? This is what Rebbe Meir said. He says, Bishum Rebbe Meir, and he was backed up by Reb Shimon ben Manasseh, who said, this is what I heard also from Rabbi Meir. What is an almanat isa? Kol shenit maba safek halal. Where we got all confused in her marriage with a sfekus of halal. But that's because makirin Yisrael mamzerim b'nehem, ve'ein makirim halalim she'b'nehem. Now this is an extremely confusing statement. Because what you seem to be saying is, well, we know who the mamzerim are, but we don't know who the halalim are. Which seems to be saying that if there's a suffix halal, we have big problems. But a minute ago, Rebbe Meir was saying the only case where we don't have big problems is the case of the halal, as long as we don't have the mamzerut problem. So what in the heck? What did Rebbe Meir say? I mean, there's opposites. So Gemara is going to go through now these three different approaches, and what the argument would be between the Tanakhama and Rebbe Meir in our first approach, between the Tanakhama and Rebbe Meir in the Shimon ben Elazar approach and Shimon ben Manasseh, and the difference in Rebbe Meir between the original Rebbe Meir as quoted and the Rebbe Meir who's quoted by Reb Shimon ben Elazar and Shimon ben Manasseh. Fine. So let's understand now the Braita before we continue. Omar Mar, Ezoi Almanat Isa, you start off, the Tanakhama says, anybody where at least you don't have to worry about mamzerut, and you don't have to worry about netinut, and you don't have to worry about avdei melachim, which implies that as long as you don't worry about that, and all you're worried about is that maybe he's a halal, then the halal is kosher. Now, I don't understand, what is the difference between those cases and the case of the halal? I mean, is it because it's an iser d'oraita? Because if she would have actually slept with a mamzer in the teens, so then minyaraisa, she would have been pasul. Mashenke in the halal, excuse me. Halal nami d'oraita, there's absolutely no difference, my friend. The din of the halal is the same. We know from the pasuk of, if kitiela izar, izar, we understand any woman who is nivela to someone who is zarla, meaning pasulah, becomes pasul kuhuna. And by the halal, we have lo yechalel. Yechalel means both his wife and his child. And that's a hekesh. That the same way that he will pasul by sleeping with a woman, his child will also pasul. That's shnei chilulim. So it's echad lezaro ve'echad leishto. And that would mean that the iser is a Diraisa Isser. So that can't be the difference between the two Sveikas. So what in the world does the Tanakhama mean when it's making this distinction between the Halal and the other Isurim, all of which are on the same level of Isser Diraita? Okay, and then there's something else I don't understand. Rabbi Meir comes along and says, well, that's what you say, but I'll tell you what I heard. I heard that as long as there's no problem of Mamzeres or Netinut, then a Halal is kosher. Excuse me? But that's exactly what the Tanakhama said. I don't understand. You repeat word for word what the Tanakhama you said is, no, I disagree. What are you disagreeing about? I knew Tanakhama. Okay, and now there's something else I don't. This price is so confusing. Take a look at the next piece. I don't understand the next piece either. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Meir, V'chein, Aya, Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh, Amar Kedvarav. You know what an Almanas Isa is? Where we get mixed up with a halal. And that is a manat isa that is kosher. And then you come to explain why. Well, because people know who the mamzerim are, but they don't know who the halalim are. What? So then you're telling me that's why it should be puzzle. Didn't you just say a minute ago, Amrit Resha halal kosher? I'm going nuts over here. What are you trying to say in this brayta? A minute ago, you said the only issue is that if the guy is a suffix halal, so then you're telling me that it's kosher. And I'm going to explain to you why. Because nobody knows who a halal is. He might be a halal. What? What? Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Okay. Let's take it from the top. Because obviously nobody understands what's going on over here. And let me explain to you the problem here. Okay. The issue over here is not simply that we have a question about what happened. What it's talking about over here, when the Tanakhama gives its explanation, kol she'inbo, lo mishum this, and lo mishum that, of course, over there is no difference. I'm going to sit here and tell you every single suffix. I mean, come on. What am I, crazy? Whatever it includes the idea of suffix halalut as well. But the idea is that we have an additional basis for the problem. We're not talking about stam people say that there was an issue. We are talking about a case where the person is actually accused or claimed in an argument which somebody calls him a mamzer. So somebody says, ah, you've been mamzer. Somebody says, you've been nisin. Or somebody says, you've been halal, right? That's what we're talking about. And the question over here is a reference to his response. Now, what's very important to note, and the Chofetz Chaim talks about this as well, that this all of this discussion is only talking about a situation where Chazal were koveya when Bezdin was ma'anish because of the dinim of Lashon Hara. So then if somebody would call you a mamzer, you could take him to court and the guy is mamish, is given malchus, and so on. These are the dinim of chukei lashon hara. And there's different things. They would give a knas, and the guy would have to pay you $1,000 for calling you X, and he would get malchus for calling you Y, and there's a whole list of things. So over there, there is access to a din, and therefore you feel you need to respond. But where everything is hefker, like it is today, so then teila eretz al balima means shut up. Don't respond to people. Let them say whatever the heck they want, because that is exactly what we say. If there's no access to a bezdin and to reality, so it's crazy to start fighting about people's imaginations. So don't answer. That is something that is important to understand in the context of this Gemara, because here we're claiming that a person always should respond, and that's not necessarily so. So therefore, what we're talking about over here, says Rabbi Yochanan, is a guy who, if he's called a mamzer, so he starts yelling at you and takes you to court. He sues you. But if you call him a halal, now there's other approaches. This is Rashi's approach, but Pashtas. If you call him a halal, he doesn't say a word. That's the difference between Rabbi Meir and the Tanakhama, the original Tanakhama that we have. And that's the Tanakhama of the Braisa, Aliba, the Rebbe Meir. And it's the Also, the difference between the different approaches in Rebbe Meir's, we'll see. The Tanakhama holds any time that a guy is called something and he doesn't respond and he doesn't say, okay, I'm taking you to court for Dinei Lashon Hara. So anytime he doesn't do that, it must be because Shtika Kohoda'a. And he holds, I don't care what it is. And I'm just telling you, Kol She'ein Ba'lo Mishum Mamzerut, anything at all, including Chalalut. I'm not going to give you a list of every kind of thing. Did I say you're a Mitzri? What if I say you're a Mitzri? What if I say you're a Moavi? Well, I don't bring every single case. So I don't bring the case of Chalal. And therefore, I'm telling you, if the guy doesn't respond, then he definitely is what you say he is. But that was because he's Shotek. That's this whole bright is a totally different issue. And the Rebbe Meir comes along and says, no, 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 no. It's not true. I heard that the only cases of Shotek are specifically these other cases. And therefore, says Rebbe Meir, if he's Shotek on the case of Mamzerut, that could be true. But if he shall take on the case of Chalal, I disagree. And over there, you would still be kosher. That's the point. So, if he doesn't respond to a psul where people are not going to want to marry into his family, that's a mamzerim, what are you crazy? Don't give me a shit up from that family. But if the guy doesn't respond to being called a Chalal, there is kosher because somebody's calling you a Chalal. Ah, come on, man. Leave me alone. This is childish. I'm a halal. Come on. I mean, there's no base. I'm ignorant or something. This is absurd. I'm going to start fighting with the guy and take him to court because he says I'm a halal. I mean, he might as well call me a blackie, you know? Ridiculous. And therefore, he ignores the whole thing. Now, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says to the original Tanakhama, who quoted Rebbe Meir wrong, he says to him, listen, you're right that Rebbe Meir is makshir in the case of shtika, but it's only where, not exactly the case that you said. It's not that he's calling him a halal when her husband was still alive. He's calling him a halal and he doesn't say anything. It's only in a case where he calls her a mamzer, and over there, he is shatik. So that, I'm telling you, that's where we say that he's a suffix is where he's nitma with a suffix halal. So if, however, he was quiet in a case where somebody calls him of halal, so that's different. It's not talking about the korale halal v'shasik. It's not stam we call him a halal. The case is where he was called a mamzer and he was shasik. So there, that case, I agree with the Tanakhama with the halal. But I do not agree with the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama says anything that you say is considered to be meida, shtika, koda. I do not believe that somebody was called a mamzer is shtika koda. You know why? Because everybody knows who a mamzer is. So it's ridiculous. You're going to call me a mamzer. I'm from one of the best families in town. People know my yichus for generations. And you jerk, you want to call me a mamzer? I'm going to make a fool of myself and be like a little kid and go to biz and I'll say, he called me a mamzer. You know, boo hoo. Yeah, who cares? But in the event that if he calls me a halal, that's different. The reason that Korale Mamzer Vashasik is because he figures, you know what? Everybody knows I'm not a Mamzer. So Korale is like, because Makirin Mamzer Imbinayan. But if when you call him a Mamzer, then he starts shouting. But if you call him a halal, then he doesn't shout. Then he's quiet. So then I'll tell you why he's quiet. He's quiet because nobody knows if he's a halal or not, right? So this is not a joke that the guy's calling me a halal. People are not going to laugh it off, all right? And the truth is, maybe I am a halal, you know? So if I go to court, then it's going to get public notice. It's going to be in all the papers. This guy was called a halal. He went to court. They couldn't find out. Maybe he was a halal. Oh, my God. The last thing I need. So therefore, I shut up and I don't fight with it. So that's the point he's making. There's a difference between the shtika v'chalal, if there was no shtika for mamzerut, there's a good reason for it, because it's good enough. Thank God they haven't accepted that I'm a mamzer. I'm lucky. I'm certainly not going to raise the issue of the chalalut. Now, there seems to be a contradiction in that Rabbi Yossi says in one brisa that she took mamzer as kosher. If a guy doesn't say anything when he's called a mamzer, that's fine. But if he says, and that if he doesn't react to when he is called a halal, then he's pasul. And then the other brisa says just the opposite. If he's quiet when he's called a halal, then he's kosher. And if he's quiet when he's called a mamzer, then he's pasul. And as we just explained, that makes perfectly good sense. Lo kasha. The second part is going aliba the tana, comma, the way Rabbi Meir had it originally, not like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. And the first braita was going aliba Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's approach. And we're talking about both cases where the guy was quiet after he had been soveach. And they only talk about this because, again, this is how Rashi understands it, is why do we understand him being quiet? Is it because if I'm quiet, at least I don't get it exposed in the papers? Or is it who the heck cares? That would be the two approaches. Okay, gentlemen, so we've got now an understanding about the machlokas between relying on the Bori and the non-reliance on a Shema, relying on a Chazaka for Kuhuna, the difference between a single Sufik and a Sfeik Sfeika, the two approaches of whether relying on the Sfeik Sfeika means that it's two separate stages, or whether it's really two separate Sfeikas, the question of whether we look at the Taina, or we look at the Raya, in other words, is the Sfeik Sfeika less of a Taina, or do what we look at is a response of a Bori is more powerful than even a single suffix, but a Shema is so weak it's useless? Or do we look at it the other way? A Taina of a one suffix is so strong that it will even be Doicha cases of a Bori, but a Taina of a suffix is so weak that it'll even be Doicha Nitcha Mipnei suffix, meaning of a Shema, which was the machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel. And we further learned of the difference between a bidiavad and a lechatchila in the dinim of application of Rabbi Gamliel. And we furthermore learned that even Rabbi Yeshua is meida in some of these cases to Rabbi Gamliel and is only coming about it because of the chumrah of Yichusim, not because he really believes that we don't rely on a chazaka. And we furthermore learned that these kohanim are big problems, and they're always telling you when to drink. And we also understood that they're big problems, and therefore they will not accept the psak of a bezdin that makes it easier to marry into the kohen's family, which we already saw that they insisted on getting 400 for the bitulah and so on and so forth. They got a little bit of an upcomings before because people said, I'd rather have a bitulah Yisrael than an almon of a kohen. Well, that taught them a little bit of a lesson, maybe.